views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. I'm so glad you've joined us here today on KKNW 1150 AM. You might be listening anywhere around the world on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You might be listening after the fact on one of the 90 syndicated stations or on ChristineUpchurch.com. But wherever and whenever you're listening from today, I'm so glad you've joined us because we're going to be talking about something in a way that we've never talked about it before. So I always have to do a little teaser. I first have to say hello to my better half here in the studio who does his magic, his technological magic, so you can hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Hey, Benny.
Hey, good day, Christine, and welcome back for another hour. This is back-to-back hours for you.
I know. I'm talking up a storm here.
You got a little left in the tank there?
Just a little bit,
good,
yeah.
Good, good. That's my best out of all the hosts I have here.
And I've got coffee in the cup, too.
Oh, so, that kind of
I'm fueled one way or another.
Good girl.
But, you know, I'm also fueled by excitement and anticipation about our current guest. Now, it's funny, you know, we've talked about intuition. We've talked about serendipity. But it's unusual for us to talk about it in terms of business. And I don't know that we've ever talked about it in terms of business success. And our guest today does exactly that. He's going to help us discover a new way of navigating our careers by following the intuition, the synchronicity, the dreams. And he likes to talk about it as a treasure map. His name is Rizwan Virk, and he is a successful entrepreneur, an angel investor. I love that when people have the money, then they start to invest in other projects and support others. It's fabulous. He's a best-selling author. He's a video game industry pioneer. So he's a techie. I would guess that he's a bit of a nerd. I love nerds. And he's an independent film producer. He runs something called Bayview Labs and Play Labs at MIT, which is a startup accelerator held on campus at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I used to live in the Boston area, so I know exactly where that is. He received a Bachelor of Science in Computer Science and an Engineering from MIT and a Master of Science in Management from Stanford's Graduate School of Business. He's had many startup companies that's been used by thousands of enterprise customers, and his games have been downloaded millions of times. And some of these you'll probably recognize. Bingo Run, Tapfish, Penny Dreadful, and Grimm, Cards of Fate. And he's produced many indie films, which is interesting direction for his career to have gone. Turquoise Rose and Thrive, What on Earth Will It Take? And Sirius. And his first book was called Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. And it got up to Amazon's top business and spiritual bestseller list. And his latest book is called Treasure Hunt, Follow Your Inner Clues to Find True Success. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Rizwan Virk. Hi, Riz. Welcome.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for having me on.
You know, Riz, I'm always fascinated to find out how people have gone, you know, from where they started in their lives to what they're doing today, because oftentimes people sort of shifted directions or began to focus on their direction in a new way. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you went from this techie to looking at things as subtle as intuition and synchronicity?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I started my career in the tech world. I studied computer science at MIT, as you mentioned, and you know, engineering tends to be a very left-brained world, and you know, they don't talk about things like synchronicity and intuition or dreams very often. But you know, what I found is that many successful people in the business world and in the tech world use their intuition all the time.
Uh-huh, right.
They're able to hone in on the solution to a problem, or they choose a direction, out of 10 different directions. They chose one, whereas if there were, 10 other people there, they would choose, the other direction. And so, I found that it was an important skill. But what started to happen to me was in my very first startup, I started to have these experiences where I would have a hunch about something.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, that would end up being an important piece of a puzzle. As a very simple example, I would have a hunch about a building. I'd walk by it.
Uh-huh.
I'd say, huh, that's a funny feeling. And I would start to notice it. And then a couple of years later, I would end up having an office in that building. And now you could say, the left brain would say, well, you had walked by the building, you had a hunch about it, therefore when it was time to get office space, you decided to go check it out.
Uh-huh.
But, as I started to study quantum physics and some of the spiritual traditions, I realized that they both agreed that there's another interpretation. And the other interpretation is that one of my future selves, the one that was going to have an office in that building, was sending back information.
Uh-huh.
And I was catching it, and the way that I was catching it was because of this funny feeling.
Right.
This feeling of deja vu. And so, the more I looked at quantum physics, and the more I realized that, I'm an engineer, so I like to know how things work.
Oh, sure.
And I realized that the past, the present, and the future are connected in ways that, we don't really talk about in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so that
right.
got me very, very interested. And I had lots yeah. of other experiences like this, some more dramatic.
It's interesting. I wanted to share something that happened to me, because it parallels what happened to you. When I first moved to the Seattle area a quarter century ago, I was a statistician, had been a statistician for about a decade, and I wasn't sure if I was going to continue in statistics or not. Well, I went to this meeting of statisticians in this building in Seattle, and I thought, this is a really nice building. Oh, there's views of the Space Needle, and there's a Starbucks downstairs. This is kind of nice, and just sort of filed that away. Well, about 2 months later, a friend of ours had a neighbor who said, do you happen to know any statisticians who are looking for jobs? And I ended up getting a job at that building. So it wasn't even anything that I could have consciously attracted. I mean, it was just something that was in alignment, or somehow it felt familiar. So I get how that happened to you.
Yeah, that's a great story. And, sometimes there are these patterns, and where I like to call these clues, glitches in the quantum matrix, because
right.
we're sensing a possibility. And, if you look at like physicists like Michio Kaku, they talk about the feeling of deja vu may actually be us tapping into our parallel lie.
Right. Yeah.
So, in quantum physics, every time, one interpretation is every time we make a major decision, we branch the world and there are different universes.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're sensing that, and sometimes we're sensing future possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this would happen to me often in my dreams as well. I'll tell you another business-related story where, and this one really kind of threw me for a loop, because it was a little more, unexplainable, I guess. So I had a startup, and one morning I had a dream about a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Mark, that I hadn't seen or heard of in like 6 months or a year. And I woke up that morning and I thought, that's odd that I would have a dream about that particular competitor. And in the book Treasure Hunt, I'll talk about the idea of clues, but the rules of treasure hunting are, first, is it unusual? And
right.
it was a very unusual occurrence and an unusual feeling I had about it.
Uh-huh.
So I was paying attention to it. Then I went into the office and I got a call from one of our business partners at IBM that same morning. And he said, oh, I wanted to give you a heads up. We're doing an announcement tomorrow. And unfortunately, we're announcing a product that's probably going to make your product, useless. And so we're going to crush your product, but we wanted to be a good partner. So we thought we'd tell you before we made the announcement. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. I mean, I was a little upset that they were going to make our product useless. But,
sure. Yeah.
I wondered, well, how come I never heard about this? In a big company, it's kind of hard to keep secrets about products like this. And he said, oh, it was because we bought your competitor, that guy Mark, over a year ago.
Oh, wow.
And they've been working on it in secret.
Yeah.
And we're just announcing it today. And so that really threw me for a loop, because, it was basically seeping into the future of what was about to happen, and the present of what was happening was seeping into my dream.
Uh-huh.
And that's really when I really started to question, our common sense idea of time and space.
Sure. And so... was there something like the fact that you had had that dream and that came with that feeling, that sense that somehow it was out of the ordinary or perhaps important, did that make it easier for you to sort of surrender to that situation where your competitor was going to, you know, make your product obsolete?
Yeah. I think it kind of helped in a way, because it sort of made me feel like, okay, this is a part of a larger pattern. Something is playing out here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we as a company, it turned out that it ended up not making our product completely obsolete, because theirs was a high-end expensive product and ours was a lower end.
Oh, and so, interesting.
But, you know, in the book, I talk about this idea of the treasure map, where there are, you know, these places that perhaps we were meant to go in our lives. And I use the analogy of an Indiana Jones film, like sure. Raiders of the Lost Ark, which you may have seen.
Or oh, yeah, many times.
Many listeners may have seen. And, you know, in those movies, wouldn't it be nice if Indy had a map and the X was there right at the beginning of the movie and all you had to do was just go and get the Ark of the Covenant?
Right, yeah.
Of course, it's never that simple. And first of all, it wouldn't make for a very interesting movie, right?
Yeah.
There weren't any obstacles. But secondly, the way it works is he gets one clue and then he has to follow that clue, and that takes him to the next clue. And that takes him to the next clue, and then eventually that leads to the treasure.
You bet.
And so, you know, I view this as just sort of one of the places in the life of that startup, you know, that we were meant to go and the things that we were meant to do. And so I think each of us has a treasure map of these types of places. And sometimes it's, you know, it's good to recognize that and kind of surrender as we navigate, you know, to these places, and we catch glimpses of where the, you know, where these places might be. For me, that particular clue, you know, although it was only the day before they announced it, so it's not like we had a lot of time or that it had a lot of practical impact. But for me, it had a bigger impact of changing my worldview. And, you know, a lot of my life in my first book, Zen Entrepreneurship, has been about trying to bring some Eastern concepts, you know, into the West, whether we're talking about meditation or energy, into very Western settings. And so that was a big clue for me, that it was okay to do this, even in the business world, because these things happen there as well as they do in a spiritual setting.
And I love the fact that the situation that could have been devastating for you on a professional level actually inspired you to create something new and to view the world in a different way. This is exciting, and I love this concept of the treasure map, and I know you've got lots of tips for our listeners. We're going to go to a quick break, but more with Rizwan here in just a few moments. Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a 4-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com, or call 425-999-9836.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad.
Then one day I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
You know that feeling in your gut? That tiny whisper in the back of your ear? The tinge behind your knee that says, let's go for it? But then your mind says, that's ridiculous. Do you ever wonder if that little voice might be onto something? My name is Audrey Michelle. I'm the host of Rewired Life Radio, as well as a spiritual growth coach. If you're ready to stop letting fear lead you around, let's talk. If you're at the point in your life where you're ready to shed layers of what you thought you were supposed to be and are ready to take the next step to trust your best resource, let's talk. I can help you discover the voice of inner wisdom. I will guide you through a process to unearth your best self. To learn more, go to audreymichelle.com/coaching. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/coaching.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm fascinated, Riz, by this concept of a treasure map. Now, I just want to take a step back before getting into what some of the treasure map clues can be. You mentioned something before the break about how each of us has a treasure map. Do you really think that each person is designed to have some sort of treasure they can navigate to, or do you think it's just for the lucky few?
Well, you know, I tend to believe that each of us has strengths and weaknesses that we come into this life with, and that we are meant to do certain things. And so, you know, treasure can be defined in different ways. For some people, it might be a financial treasure, but really, you know, I define true success as being in the right place at the right time, mm-hmm. doing meaningful work. Right. And so I believe each of us has meaningful work that we were meant to do. And, you know, as I started to look into this idea of clues, you know, I looked at both from a spiritual perspective as well as from a scientific perspective.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, on the spiritual side, as I did research, and, you know, if you look at the work of, say, Dr. Michael Newton, who wrote Journey of Souls, or Dr. Brian Weiss, who wrote Many Lives, Many Masters, uh-huh. in both cases, right. they would regress people, you know, back to before birth. And in both cases, they found that there was this time before you were born where you were planning out some of the things that you that might happen to you in this life, some of the major events, not mm-hmm. necessarily every little thing. And then what would happen is that as we're born, we forget that. In the Chinese traditions, they talk about Meng Po, the goddess of forgetfulness, who brews the tea of forgetfulness, and we drink that.
Right, yeah.
And then we're born, and we forget all about those things that we were meant to do. But we need some way to remember it, and that's where the clues come in. Because the clues are there to remind us of the set of possible things that we were planning to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as I looked into the world of quantum physics, I realized there's this idea that there are multiple probable futures based
right.
upon the choices that we make.
Well, I love that.
I don't think it's so continuous. I think there are certain things that have more probability than others.
Uh-huh.
And there's, according to some physicists, like Fred Allen Wolf, who's a Berkeley quantum physicist, he talks about the mind being a time machine. It's able to sense the flow of information from the future to the present and to the past.
Wow.
And so it's like a two-way information flow. And so which of those probable futures we realize in this timeline depends on which one we pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
And so they're all kind of there broadcasting, but some have more probability than others.
Right.
And so I view it kind of like a set of branches, and I have some diagrams in the book that talk about this,
yep.
where you end up with this grid or matrix of possibilities, And some of them have higher probability than others based upon our mission and what we're meant to do, but also based upon what we consciously pay attention to, and we navigate to one of those. So I guess that's a long way of saying I believe we all have things that we were meant to do and that our future selves are already doing.
Right.
And that's part of our treasure map.
And possibly multiple future selves in a sense, and that we just have to, through our choices and our alignment, will determine which of those future selves we actually live into, you know?
That's exactly right. And so if you think of it like a branch, every time we make a major decision or a minor decision, let's say we branch into two different universes. Now, some of those decisions are that important, you know, whether I have eggs or oatmeal this morning for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And so those, I was meditating on this and I saw an image of kind of like a diamond where you branch out and then you merge back together. And that's what kind of led me to this idea of having this grid where we can still get to point B or C, even if we make different decisions based upon how the universes are merging and branching,
right?
And what we're paying attention to and what the major things are that we were meant to do.
Mm-hmm. And I love this concept of using geometry to explain it, because I suspect, this is just my intuitive sense, that this mystery that we call, you know, this alternate reality, this broader version of reality, the quantum soup that we live in, you know, whatever, this quantum field or the matrix that we are actually, that it's all like geometrically based. There's mathematics to it. And so instead of thinking of sort of it has to be this woo-woo thing where there's this angel, you know, up on a cloud and helping us and sort of leading us here or there. I mean, yes, we may have guides, but it instead of just that, it could be that there's this geometric structure and it's about navigating our way through that.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, you know, what excites me as an engineer is that there's this almost, I mean, you could go for the more religious or spiritual explanation, but I think there is a scientific explanation. And in some ways, they agree with each other.
Uh-huh.
And because, you know, if you look at the basis of quantum physics, you know, one of the main experiments was this two-slit experiment where a photon would go through both slits if it was a wave.
Uh-huh.
And it would produce a geometric pattern on the other side. But if it was a particle, it would only go to one specific location. And this, you know, was puzzling for the scientists that discovered quantum physics. And they came up with the interpretation that the geometric wave was the set of probable locations of the particle. And that probability wave collapsed when we observed a specific particle in a specific place.
Right.
And, okay, that's at the subatomic level. But we can think of our lives that way, in that we have this geometric set of possibilities. They're not all possibilities. There's two slits, for example, in the case of the photon. Right? I'm probably not. I don't have a future where I'm an NBA player, probably. Right?
Uh-huh.
As you suggested, I'm very much a nerd and very much into computers.
Sure.
And even though I used to play a little basketball in high school, that probably was not one of the future selves.
Sure.
That I was tuning into. But the ones that are there, you know, we're basically in the process of navigating between them. And sometimes, you know, what that means is if you're in one of those locations, there are these parallel versions of us.
Right.
You know, and I've had experiences where, like, for example, I drove by Stanford University once and I had this very clear vision of me as a professor teaching a class.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I have those tendencies. I could see that as a realistic probability. But and in fact, I, you know, spend the summer at MIT teaching startups. Uh-huh. And mentoring startups.
Right.
But in this life, I'm a video game designer, I'm an entrepreneur, and I haven't really gone down that whole academic path of being a professor. And in that reality, I was much more narrow-minded in that sense and went down the academic path.
Right.
But it was very real, and I realized, okay, that could be a parallel life if I had made different decisions, you know, earlier. And it may actually be going on right now.
And I know there's probably lots of people who are either in disbelief or kind of, you know, dropping their jaws because they think this is pretty wild. I, too, have experienced more than one of my alternate realities and actually had a profound healing from one. I'm probably going to be talking about that on my Facebook Live in the next couple of days. But anyway, so this doesn't seem bizarre to me at all. And I think it's really interesting to figure out why perhaps we're focusing right now. I mean, maybe this sort of linear way of looking at it, but why are we focusing right now on the particular path that we're on? So do you ever ask yourself that, like, why are you focusing on this path where you're more open-minded? and where you're teaching people how to access perhaps this the parallel realities, the quantum field, the geometry, you know, of the probabilities to find their way to, you know, success in their life.
I feel like for me, it's part of my mission in life, and I encourage people to look at the themes that recur in their different jobs and their different projects over time, you know. And for me, you know, bridging the gap between kind of this left brain world and this right brain world is something that I believe is part of my personal treasure map, and it's something that I keep coming back to. But, you know, not just, you know, talking about yoga and meditation, but even in, you know, some of my startups, we've built video games, and there's very much this idea of the creative side and the more practical side. You have to make them work together. The same is true with films and film production. You know, there's the creative side of it, but then there's the business side, and you need to find ways for it to fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I had an experience, actually, this was back in the 90s when I was living in Boston, and this is another example of the type of clue that I talk about in the book. But I was thinking about living on the West Coast and the East Coast and trying to be, you know, live in both places. But I was in my 20s. I just left my first startup. I had no money. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't sure I could really do that.
Right. Makes it logistically difficult.
So as I was walking around Boston, I was, you know, kind of thinking about this problem in New England, and I started to notice all these mermaids everywhere.
Huh.
And, you know, not real mermaids, unfortunately, but and pictures of mermaids. And turns out they had been there all along. Like, if you go to any seafood restaurant in New England, you'll see, like, a statue of a mermaid or a picture. But I had never noticed it, even though I'd lived there for more than 10 years. And so that was an unusual thing, and my mind kept being drawn to it. And so then I said, well, what does this mean? What could this symbol mean? Because it keeps coming up for me. And then I realized, you know, for me, a mermaid was someone who lives in two worlds, the world of the ocean, you know, and the world of land and men. And I had been a big fan of movies like Little Mermaid and Splash back in the 80s and 90s. So, and that struggle. And I realized that for me, it was a personal symbol. Right? And these clues are very personalized. So they're very different depending upon who's having the clue.
Yeah.
That this was a symbol that I could be in the East Coast and the West Coast and make it work, which I was able to do then for a while. And also this idea of bringing Eastern concepts into the Western world and living in both worlds and bridging the gap between the worlds.
Right. Oh, I love that story. And I want to learn lots more about the various types of clues and some more of these wonderful stories when we return. And when we come back, Riz, I'd love for you to help us find our way to our treasure hunt. More in just a few moments here with Rizwan Burke.
The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there. A big mistake. Just look at the world around you, right here on the ocean floor.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire?
Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a four-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com.
What more are you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's bitter down where it's wetter. Take it from me. I'm on the shore, they work all day.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm always amused at some of the music you choose, Benny.
Well, it's only because of our guest mentioned The Little Mermaid, so
yes.
That would be a classic hit from the movie itself.
Absolutely.
Brought back some good memories there.
Yeah, and it's played a significant role in his life, and I love the fact that these everyday sorts of things can be incredibly meaningful for us if we know how to assess them as clues. What are some of the clues, Riz?
Well, so, you know, the basic idea of the clue is that there's an inner event or feeling that corresponds with some external event. And so, you know, the perfect type of clue is a synchronicity, which I'm sure many of your listeners, you know, have heard the term, but which was defined by Carl Jung as a meaningful coincidence.
Uh-huh.
They also described it as an acausal connecting principle, where two things are connected, but you're not sure exactly why.
Uh-huh.
Right, and they could be, a synchronicity could be as simple as you think of a friend that you haven't thought of in a while, and then they call you the next day,
right,
or they email you. And so now you have an internal and an external aspect to that clue.
Uh-huh.
You know, other types of clues are, you know, sometimes we have a little voice that's just telling us something, or we have a sense of deja vu,
right,
around a person or a place. You know, sometimes we're drawn to a bumper sticker that,
sure,
we see. Or, you know, so the clues are very personalized, and part of what the book Treasure Hunt is about developing your own navigational system so that you can understand what types of internal sensations you have when there's a genuine clue, and then how to navigate that using something I call the clue life cycle to figure out, you know, when you should act and when you shouldn't act, because that's always, I think, a challenge for people, you know, who are paying attention to their intuition,
right,
and developing that system and getting confidence on when you should act and when you shouldn't act.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how do we become attuned to our the inner part of our system?
Well, so I've got this, I mentioned this thing I call the clue life cycle, which is a series of stages. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, kind of a slavish procedure that you have to follow, but it's meant to bring the left brain and the right brain together. So if we're somebody that maybe acts too quickly, right, we have a dream about going to Italy, the next morning it's probably not practical for us to just quit our jobs and move to Italy right away.
Right.
And so it's meant to slow us down until we can get confirmation. On the other hand, if we're somebody who likes to analyze a lot and doesn't act, then it's meant to provide, you know, a concrete series of steps that allows you to take action. And so the first stage is intuition.
Uh-huh.
That's when we notice something that's odd. The second stage is interpretation, when we say, okay, you know, what is this clue trying to tell us?
Right.
And then the third stage is confirmation. And that's when we look for repetition. And that's actually kind of important, because I think, you know, if a clue is part of our treasure map, it will repeat or it'll be echoed by other clues. So there's the first repetition, which is the internal thought and the external idea.
Uh-huh.
But then sometimes we'll have other clues that also point us in that direction. I gave the example of the mermaids. It didn't just happen once. I kept noticing them again and again,
right,
in places where I had never noticed them before. And then the next stage is action, where we take some step in that direction. I'll tell you another story. This was from a friend of mine in Arizona. And one day she noticed there was a seashell in her driveway, which is kind of odd because it's in the middle of the desert.
Arizona. I mean, yes, they have sand, but it's not that kind of sand.
Right, exactly. It's certainly not in the part of Arizona where she lived. And she thought that was odd. And then she's about to get in her car, and she noticed a second seashell was there in her driveway.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at that, and she thought, that's really odd. So she started to think, okay, from an interpretation point of view, what does this mean to me, or what does this evoke? And turns out she had noticed some seashells in a movie, like just the night, one or two nights before.
Uh-huh.
And the movie was The Way, which was about a pilgrimage to the Camino del Santiago in Europe.
Right.
With Martin Sheen and others. And so she had noticed these seashells in the movie, and they had kind of jumped out at her. And so this is where the inner and the external events were connected somehow, even
right,
though you couldn't find a causal principle. So she then was about to go to work, and she noticed another seashell. So she literally had three seashells.
My goodness. In Arizona, yes.
In Arizona. And so she said, okay, this is clearly trying to tell me something, and clearly it seems to be related to this movie. And she had been hoping to go on a pilgrimage herself. Now this is where, you know, the practical part comes in, and she said, okay, what action should I take? Now she couldn't just go to Europe for this long pilgrimage in the mountains, but, you know, her daughter was having some issues, and she was hoping to take her somewhere. And so she decided to go on a little pilgrimage to Sedona, which was, you know, a little bit closer to where they were.
Sure.
And then it had lots of synchronicities, and it became kind of a mini pilgrimage in and of itself. And so, you know, that's an example where the stages are there. I mean, you don't always have to think through, am I in this stage or am I in that stage? But really, you know, the principles are interpretation, confirmation, and action.
So what happens if we interpret it incorrectly? And, I mean, are there examples where people thought it meant one thing and then they sort of, you know, run with that and then they realize, no, that's not what it was telling me at all?
Yeah, you know, that definitely happens. And that's part of, you know, when a clue is important, it will repeat itself. You know, in my book, I talk about in my first startup, I had a dream about a friend of mine, Mario, who had moved to Florida, and we were just starting our very first startup. We were in our living room, you know, coding like crazy, and I had a dream one day, and he ended up calling me that morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it was another example of an inner and external event.
Sure.
Saying, hey, I'm back from Florida. You know, I need a place to crash. And we were like, okay, you can stay with us. We're starting this company. And we interpreted it as, okay, he's going to start the company with us because he was a fellow computer programmer. We had
sure.
worked together before. And in fact, I had had the weird intuition when he had left that he would play some role in this company, but it was another one of those very vague hunches. And so our interpretation was he was going to join us, and so he worked with us for a few days. And, you know, he kept telling us, well, you guys need to go to this conference in Florida. We were just out of school. We had never been to any kind of professional conference.
Sure.
And turns out it was a conference that we needed to be at, but we didn't have any money. But he just kept insisting, look, you guys really got to go.
Uh-huh.
And then after a few days, you know, he decided he didn't want to join us because it was too much work, and he wanted to go relax on the beach again.
Right.
To do a startup. But he was the one that convinced us to go to this conference. We ended up borrowing some money from my co-founder's parents to get down there.
Uh-huh.
And it ended up being a hugely successful launch of our product. So that was a case where we interpreted it to mean one thing, it actually meant something else, but it was part of a larger pattern that was emerging, and we're not always conscious of what that is.
And so you understood that, I think of it as that geometry of the wave creating these paths of probability and how it can lead you to the same place even if you go a different direction on that, you know, that geometric structure, so to speak. And so you continued to assess it, interpret it, and made the choice, even though you'd gotten a piece of it so-called wrong.
Right, and that's actually okay. I mean, it's the process. If you think of the clue life cycle as a circle, but there are multiple clues that we have over time, and so it's more like a spiral, and then you can end up in many of these different places. And some of these patterns emerge over a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to call that sometimes the green light, red light phenomena, where
sure.
it looks like the universe is pointing us in a certain direction, and then the doors close,
uh-huh.
and we're like, crap, what was that all about?
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, it's happened to me.
It's happened to all of us. But one of the rules of treasure hunting in the book is that clues often indicate direction
mm-hmm.
or they indicate timing, but rarely do they indicate both. because time operates differently, you know, both at the quantum level and from a spiritual perspective than we're used to. So I'll give another example of my own, which actually relates to the current book, Treasure Hunt. So again, going back to the 90s, this happened like almost 20 years ago, actually almost exactly. It was 1997, where I was going to write a book about startups. Nothing spiritual about it, just kind of a straight book about startups. And sure, it's pretty hard for a new author to get an agent or find a publisher. And lo and behold, the first agent I contacted said, hey, yeah, this is great. I'd love to be your agent. And then it turns out I had a trip scheduled to California in a couple of weeks, and she was in L.A. And so I was able to meet with her. And so I thought, wow, everything, you know, all the obstacles are melting away.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like this is definitely pointing me down this direction, this path. But then she was unable to sell that manuscript to any publisher. So it looked like, okay, the doors were closing on that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an important thing that happened during that time, which she asked me, well, okay, what's the book you really want to write that's in your bone? And I started to think about it. And I came up, you know, with this idea that what I really want to write, and I didn't feel I was ready to do it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, one day I'd like to write a book on synchronicity in business.
Uh-huh. Right?
And so that was the seed of the current book, which literally 20 years later just got published last month, right?
Right, right.
And so sometimes there's a larger pattern, this geometric pattern that we talk about, and we can still get to those points and we get glimpses of it, these glitches in the matrix, as I call them. And we can still end up in that place, but it may not be at exactly the time that we think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And that's often what the green light, red light phenomenon is about, in my opinion.
Yeah. This is fascinating. And I know that, Riz, you're going to be here in Seattle next weekend on the 9th, I believe it is, 9th of December. And when we come back, we're going to share with our listeners how they can connect with you, talk about your website as well as about your event. And you've also got a contest going on, but I'm not going to share anything more until we come back. More about treasure hunting to find your way to success with Riz von Virk here in just a few moments.
Now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles.
Chances are you've been on your conscious journey for many years, and you've learned a lot about manifesting a wonderful life. But if you are like many others on their spiritual paths, you may still have some area of your life where you're feeling stuck. Perhaps you've read many books, attended lots of workshops, listened to many programs, and done plenty of inner work, and yet there is still something you'd like to change. With all the information out there, it may be hard to see the forest for the trees. Do you want to get a bird's eye view of that forest so you are empowered to navigate more effectively? Do you want to know the key to positive change and develop a personalized strategy for creating the changes you desire? Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for a four-week webinar series beginning January 9th. Start your new year right and embrace the vibration of change. For more information, visit ChristineUpchurch.com. That's ChristineUpchurch.com or call 425-999-9836.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in The Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to The Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness.
They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836. Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show. I am really enjoying my conversation with Rizwan Virk. And Riz, I love this concept of treasure hunting and finding our way to success and you know, meandering our way through our happier and more successful destinations along the way. I know that you're coming to Seattle, which I'm very excited about. Can you share with our listeners when and more information about that?
Sure. Yeah, I'll be coming to Seattle next weekend on December 9th, and I'll be having a workshop at East West Bookshop,
uh-huh.
and I believe it's 7 to 8:30 or uh-huh. somewhere around there
right.
in the evening. And I'm looking forward to it. I actually have never been to East West Seattle. I've been to East West here in Mountain View, which is kind of my local spiritual bookstore. It's within walking distance of my house here in Mountain View.
That's nice. Yeah, East West Bookshop's wonderful, and it's funny, their venue actually holds quite a few people, but it feels very small and comfortable, and it's a wonderful place to present, and the staff there is just absolutely fabulous. So I'm sure it'll be a great event. And I want to encourage you, if you're in the Seattle area on, you know, Saturday night on December 9th from 7 to 8:30, to go see Riz there and get a copy of his book and have an opportunity to get your book signed. And I also know that you've got some other things going on, including a contest. Can you share with our listeners about that, Riz?
Okay, sure. And, you know, there's more about this on my website at zenentrepreneur.com. And I call this contest the Real Life Treasure Hunt. And, you know, the basic idea is that I'm looking for people who have interesting spiritual or conscious business projects that they feel are part of their personal path in life and that they have been following the clues, as I talk about in the book, and so then I'm going to end up investing $20,000 in someone's spiritual or conscious business idea. And it could be, you know, a crazy idea. So, you know, I live here in Silicon Valley much of the year, and there are certain areas where angel investors and technologists and VCs, and I'm sure it's similar in Seattle, they'll invest in. And there are other areas that they won't invest in necessarily because they think they're too woo-woo
right.
or they're not in the mainstream.
Sure.
So this could be, you know, I'll give you an example of a project that I ended up investing that gave me this idea was my girlfriend, Ellen McDonough. She's a spiritual artist, and she went through a healing journey of our own. And during that time, she found all these energetic audios out there from different healers,
uh-huh.
people like Michelle Carter, Christine Day. And these audios were energized in different ways. Some may be binaural beats, some were with intention, some were with energy.
Uh-huh.
And she had to like go and find all these healers and get them on her iPhone. And these energetic audios helped her a lot in her personal healing journey. So she wanted to create an app where people could just go and find all of these energetic audios and download them. And so I thought, well, that's a cool idea. It's mm-hmm. the kind of idea that a lot of VCs wouldn't touch because they're like, what the heck are these energetic things, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I funded that project, and now that app is out. It's called Pure Light Audio. It's available on the iPhone. But
Pure,
that's an
Pure
example
Light Audio.
Of a type of project. Pure Light Audio, yeah.
Okay.
And I use that as a good example of the type of project that I'm interested in, but it could really be anything. You know, it could be, I met some guys a few years ago who, you know, wanted to do a prototype, a small prototype of what they thought was a UFO, a magnetic propulsion device.
Uh-huh.
And they need a little bit of money to get something. And so it's enough to get somebody started, and it comes with mentoring. And so I'll be choosing some finalists from the applicants, and then it'll be a little bit like Shark Tank, but, you know, without the shark. It'll
right,
be a little more
right.
spiritual.
I think that's wonderful because I think people working in the alternative realm often don't have the funding that they need.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I remember, you know, what it's like to try to get started and really have no money for anything, like
sure.
even in my very first startup,
uh-huh.
where we literally had to buy computers and return them in 30 days and then rebuy them for the next cycle because we didn't have enough money to have a QA machine to test our software. But, you know, particularly in the spiritual conscious world, I think there's a lack of people that are willing to support these types of projects. And so, you know, you have to have read the book and kind of show that you have as part of the entry criteria. One, it keeps my publisher happy. But two, I'm really looking for people that are following the clues on their own personal treasure hunt. So, you know, it has to be something that's meaningful to them and that they have been led to
right.
as part of this larger pattern. And they may have been led there over, you know, a long period of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily for the next tech startup. There's plenty of guys that will invest in that.
Sure. That makes sense. You know, Riz, I'm fascinated by trying to decipher what are just sort of like the mundane clues that are like, okay, let's talk about Italy. And then you think in terms of, then you see somebody mention something online about this really good Italian restaurant. You think, put the two and two together and you go there and you run into a friend you haven't seen in a long time. So it's kind of like you understand that those clues have been leading you to that kind of connection. How do we decipher those more mundane kind of directive clues and the big ones?
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that that's important is that the big clues may be, you know, a collection of these smaller clues. And by paying attention to the mundane kind of everyday clues, it opens up our ability to sense the flow of these clues and these glitches. And you know, it could be something as simple as that. I was on a radio show last month, and the host was reading Treasure Hunt the night before, and she was thinking about synchronicity, and she fell asleep, and that morning she had a dream about a friend of hers, and her husband in the dream was going through a lot of pain, and was ill, and so she decided in that case to proactively call the friend, and found out that, in fact, her husband was in the hospital going through some kidney stones, was in a lot of pain.
Oh, dear.
And it was just an interesting, I mean, that wasn't necessarily a big life-changing clue, but it was one of those smaller clues that happens to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is also important because it reveals this larger pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes we get a clue that looks like it's a small clue, but it ends up being really important. I'll tell you an interesting story. You may have even heard this one. It was about a young man going to college in Oregon. At Reed College, and he wasn't too excited about his classes, so he ended up dropping some of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking on the edge of campus, and he saw this flyer for a calligraphy class, and it really called out to him. So he decided to take that calligraphy class rather than, say, you know, the math or science classes that he was supposed to be taking. And so each of us has a different way of noticing something. He noticed that particular calligraphy class, and he fell in love with this idea of different font faces, font styles, kerning, serif, all these things. Well, years later, it turned out that young man was Steve Jobs. And when he was making the Macintosh computer, you know, he insisted that there be multiple fonts of different types with different styles as part of, you know, the introduction of the Macintosh.
Sure.
So that's a case where something that looked like a distraction, you know, really played into his larger pattern of bringing art and science together. And so, you know, we might not have all these interesting fonts, and we might still have a green screen today.
How boring would that be?
That distraction.
Yeah,
exactly.
I love that story. Yeah. I love that story. You know, our hour has flown by here. Riz, in a minute or less, can you share whatever you feel is an important message for our listeners?
Well, you know, I guess the important message is that each of us, you know, has places that we were meant to be, and we're probably going to get there. But it's important for us to listen to the clues and learn to recognize the clues, both the small clues and the big clues, because they'll help us to navigate to, you know, the points within that grid that are most important to us. So I guess I would say, you know, to find the treasure, follow the clues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's really inspirational to think that each and every one of us has a treasure map where, you know, we're being led to a positive place, that we do have support on some level, you know, whether you think of it as like the quantum field, you know, or something bigger, or, you know, more, you know, more spiritual or perhaps religious perspective. But I love the examples in your book, and I want to remind people of the name of it. It's called Treasure Hunt: Follow Your Inner Clues to Find True Success. And I know you're probably wondering, how the heck do you spell his name? So I'm going to spell it out for you. R-I-Z-W-A-N for the first name, V-I-R-K for the last name. And again, your website, what's your website?
The website is zenentrepreneur.com.
Okay. And again, Riz is going to be at East West Bookshop Saturday night on December 9th from 7 to 8:30. I encourage you to go enjoy that. And I want to thank you, Riz, for being here tonight, or today.
Well, yep. Well, thanks a lot for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
And I'm happy you joined us here today. And again, I want to encourage you to share this show. You can get onto my website within the next couple of days. The archive will be posted on christineupchurch.com. And also, if you're interested in hearing about my my interaction with my alternate self, Parallel Reality, follow me on Facebook, because I'm going to come out of the closet about that. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.